I suppose, thinking about Brother Strode's testimony, I suppose that probably about all of us here have loved ones who have already gone to be with the Lord, and we look forward to being with them again, and that reunion that he spoke about. We miss them, but I promise you that those who have gone to heaven, they're not missing us. They're not missing anything about earth. I've said before that I've seen eulogy cards that, and I don't know what the poem is called, but I've seen eulogy cards that have a poem about if I could go up to heaven and bring my loved one back, I would. Well, I'll guarantee you they wouldn't come. They're not missing anything about earth. They're in a place where they are so content. And we do look forward to that reunion. But the greatest thought of all is that, you know, I have a Savior there that I'm really anxious to see. I'm really longing to be in the presence of the Lord in that way. And I think that I'm convinced that when we see Jesus, It's going to be like, it's going to be far above what we've ever imagined it will be like. And I'm so thankful to know that I'm going. Isn't it good to be saved? I mean, what a blessing to be a child of God. I want to ask for your prayers today. I want to call your attention to a scripture reading found in 1 Peter chapter 2. I want to read the first 10 verses today for a scripture text. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with the first verse. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Listen to these last two verses. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And I want to speak today about the thought that is conveyed in those last two verses I read concerning the people of God. I want to speak about who these people are that the Apostle Peter was referencing. I want to speak about what these people are to do that he was talking about. And I want to use the title today, A Reminder of Who We Are. We do not need to ever forget who we are. And so I want today to talk about these people that the Apostle Peter spoke about. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world, and you know, it was prophesied in Old Testament times that he would come. In fact, God began to show from the very beginning of things that Jesus, that his son, would come into the world and would be the sacrifice, that he would be the gospel, that he would be the good news, and that he, through him, that men would be able to be saved. And so Jesus came, as it was told of him. He came to this world to die for our sins. But he also came to call unto himself a people that would be his. And those are the ones that the Apostle Peter is referring to. Now, there was another New Testament figure who was known as John the Baptist. Was also prophesied. The prophet Isaiah foretold of his coming. The prophet Malachi foretold of his coming, that this man would come. Malachi said that he would come in the spirit of Elijah. And so it was prophesied that he would come, that, and he is spoken of as being the forerunner of Christ. John the Baptist, we're taught in the Bible, came here on a mission. And that mission was to prepare a people made ready for the Lord. And so the Lord was coming to put something together. He was coming, as I said, to call unto himself a people that would be his. Now, the Apostle Peter, in these last two verses of the lesson that I read, he spoke about people that were a chosen generation. He spoke about people that were a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people. Now, I'm going to tell you today who I believe that he was talking about. First, I'm going to tell you who I believe he wasn't talking about. And then I want to tell you who I believe the Apostle Peter was writing about. I don't believe that these verses in the 9th and 10th verse of 1 Peter chapter 2, I don't believe that these were in reference to national Israel. I don't believe that these verses were in reference to any secular government. I don't believe that they referred to the United States of America. I don't believe that they were talking about General Motors or any other large manufacturing corporation. These people that he was talking about, being a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people, I'm convinced that the Apostle Peter was referencing the Lord's church. He was referencing those people that John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, came to make ready for the Lord. Now, some of the things that are said about them being holy and being chosen and being royal, one of the things that the Apostle Peter said was that these would be a peculiar people, that they were a peculiar people. And if we look in the Apostle Paul's epistle to Titus, the Apostle Paul wrote the same thing concerning these people. In Titus chapter 2, verse 14, the Apostle Paul tells us that Jesus gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Now, we oftentimes, when we think of the word peculiar, we think of something we may, one of our everyday words that we use might be weird or odd or strange or something like that. Sometimes that's how we look at something and we say, well, that's really peculiar. We think of that as being odd looking or something of that nature. But the word peculiar that was used concerning these people in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, and also in Titus chapter 2, verse 14, was taken from a word that was essentially what was being said when it said they were a peculiar people. It meant that they would be, that they would belong to God. This word peculiar is in reference to a possession, that these would be God's people. And that is the way in which we are peculiar. That is the way in which, one of the great ways in which the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is unique, in that we are His. We belong to God. We have been chosen by Him. You know, the Lord one time made this statement to His disciples. He said, "You've not chosen me, I have chosen you." And so we are God's chosen people. Now, I'm convinced of that. There may be many people in the world today that are not, but I'm convinced of that, that the Lord's church is a holy nation. It is a royal priesthood. It is a peculiar people, and that our purpose in this world is what the Apostle Peter stated, that we are to show forth the praises of the one that called us out of the darkness of sin and into His marvelous illuminating light. That is one of the great tasks that the church is here for, to exalt the Lord. Listen, you know, oftentimes we, I think there, perhaps there may even be question as to what the church is here for. But I'm going to tell you what I believe, and I've heard people say, well, the most important thing that the church does is preach the gospel to those who are lost. Well, you know, that's really important. We were given that work to do, and I'll, Lord willing, we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But I believe the most important thing that the church does is glorify God. That is our utmost priority, to glorify God. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And I believe that as we glorify God and as we praise the Lord, as we show forth the praises of Him that called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, that other things just fall into place around that. Do you remember what happened in the account of the Apostle Paul and Silas when they were in prison there in Macedonia, in Philippi, when they were put into the inner prison there and their feet were made fast in the stocks and they were in that dark, deep dungeon of a place? Do you remember what happened when they began to praise the Lord? The Bible says that about midnight they began to sing and they began to pray and they began to praise the Lord, and God shook the very foundation of that place. And listen, I believe that a lot of times, perhaps that we don't get the visit from the Lord that we ought to get is because we're not praising Him. We're not exalting Him the way that we should. And when Paul and Silas begin to do that, when they begin to praise the Lord, God sent that earthquake and He just shook the foundation of that prison. And then the Philippian jailer came in before them trembling and fell down before them and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Listen, you want to see lost people have a desire as they sit among the people of God? You want to see lost people affected in their heart and have a desire to seek the Lord and be saved? Let the people of God begin to praise Him and exalt Him. Amen. That's Bible. That'll preach. So we are to show forth the praises. That shouldn't be hard to do, should it? I mean, after all, look at what He's done for us. And look at how He blesses our lives from day to day. I'm telling you, God is good. And it's good to know Him. And it's good to feel His presence. And I've said this before, I'll say it again, for all those that make the argument that you can't feel Him, they're wrong. They just don't know Him. That's why they're not feeling Him. They don't know Him. I felt His presence with me this week. I felt the Lord right next to me this week while I sat and studied His Word. God is real. He's real, isn't He? He's not just a figment of our imagination. He's not something, someone that's just far off. The Bible tells us that He's a God at hand. He's with us. God is with His people. I'll tell you, these people that the Apostle Peter wrote about, this royal priesthood, this holy nation, this peculiar people, the Lord's church, He has been with her from the very establishment of the church. He's been with her. And He loves her. God loves us today. And we don't need to let the devil distract us. And we don't need to let the devil convince us of us being anything other or anybody other than what we are. We need to remember. Folks, I'm going to tell you what I believe today. I believe that Fairview Memorial, and I'm not just saying this, I believe it. I'm convinced of it. I believe that Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church is a descendant of that first church that the Lord set up in Jerusalem. I believe that. I believe that today that we are those people that was spoken of in Old Testament time. I believe that we are those people that Daniel prophesied about that we find recorded in the second chapter of Daniel in verse 44 when he said that there was going to come a day when the God of heaven was going to set up a kingdom that would never be destroyed. That's the church. And she's still here today. And he didn't only establish a kingdom that would last for the rest of time, but He established an eternal kingdom. She will never be destroyed. In the fifth chapter of Revelation, when John was shown a vision there of the book in the right hand of God, and he heard a loud angel proclaiming, "Who is worthy to open the book and who can loose the seals?" And he heard that there was no man in heaven, no man in earth, no man under the earth that could that was worthy to open the seals, to loose the seals, to open that book. And the Bible says that one of the elders came to him and said, fear not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals. And in the ninth and tenth verse of that chapter, when we are told that Jesus came and he took that book out of the right hand of God, that they begin to worship and they begin to praise. And it says this, it says, they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and nation and people and tongues, and has made us unto our God kings and priests. You like that? I do. Made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. In the first chapter of Revelation, it tells us that concerning Jesus, that he loved us. He loved us. And he washed us from our sins in his own blood. Listen, the people of God, we are blood bought. We have been bought with a great price. And because of that, we are not our own. That's what the Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He said, you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. And that price that we have been bought with, that price that he used to redeem us, was the precious blood of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. We are his purchased people, and we belong to him, and he loves us. The Apostle Paul, speaking to the church at Ephesus, he said that the Lord purchased the church with his own blood. His own blood. And so we are, because of that, Paul said that we are to glorify him in our body, in our spirit, in our soul, which are God's. We are to glorify him with all that we are, with our whole being. We are to praise the Lord and glorify him. Jesus, when he was here, during his personal ministry, set up his church. I'll just tell you this. I'm not trying to be malicious or anything like that, but I'll just tell you this. I don't believe this stuff about the church beginning on the day of Pentecost. Amen. I don't believe it. I believe the church was already up and running, and she was functioning, and she was established during the Lord's ministry on the earth. And I believe there's ample proof of that in the Scriptures. And he established a people that would go to work. You know, the church is a workforce. We are a workforce. We're not here to be lazy. We're here to work. The Lord, when he set up his church, he established, he instituted something that he would take, that would he would use to take the gospel into all the world. His church was missionary. Take the gospel to every creature. He established something that he authorized to maintain his ordinances. You know, there's times when there's groups of people that gather, and they break some bread and they take some wine and they have communion. I'll tell you, the Lord's church is who he authorized to observe that ordinance. There are people that, you know, there are people that travel to the Holy Lands, And they get somebody to baptize them in the River of Jordan, and their baptism don't mean a thing. Doesn't mean a thing. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ was the only institution on earth that he authorized to carry out that ordinance. He left it with us. He left the maintenance of those with his church and nobody else. He entrusted those to his people. The church is who he was talking to. If you look in the 28th chapter of Matthew, after that Jesus had been crucified, after that he had resurrected, and he came and he said to them, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the earth." He was talking to his chosen, his people, his church, his holy nation, his royal priesthood, and his peculiar people. The church, God's people, God's chosen people, the church, is who the Apostle Paul was referencing when he wrote what we have recorded in 1 Timothy 3:15. When he said the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. He was talking about these same people that the Apostle Peter wrote about. I'm going to tell you something. If you don't like the truth, if you don't like, if you don't want to be among people that will preach the truth, if you don't like to be among people that will uphold the truth, if you don't want to be among people that have even been willing to die rather than to forsake the truth, then the church is not the place for you, because she is the pillar and the ground of the truth. And I'll tell you what, church, whenever any, and I believe the church is a local body, I believe that what Daniel prophesied about that kingdom breaking into pieces has happened. There are many local bodies, and and I believe Brother Mike in Sunday school this morning mentioned the seven churches of Asia. I believe the Bible teaches us very plainly that any of the Lord's local bodies, any of his churches that forsake the truth are of no use to him. No use to him. The truth sets people free. The truth, it's the truth that shows people who they are and what they stand in need of. So we are the pillar and the ground of the truth. I'm convinced that today, that we are those same people that we read about in the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, when it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord, and they were in one place. And just prior to that, they had been assembled with great unity of heart, great unity of purpose, and they were praying in one mind, in one accord. And when the day of Pentecost was come, they were all gathered in that way. They were in one mind, in one accord. Listen, folks, it is extremely important for the Lord's church to be unified. It's extremely important for us to be of the same thought and of the same purpose. And let's not forget who we are. And let's not forget what we're here to do. We're not a social club. Sometimes people want to change the church into a play place. It's not the purpose of the church. The Lord didn't leave us here to play basketball, did he? He left the church here to do his work. I've heard people say, oh, our church, boy, we've even got a bowling alley in it. I don't find anything in the scriptures about the Lord leaving us here for that. He left us here to do his work, to preach the gospel, to maintain the ordinances, to glorify the Lord, to show forth the praises of him who's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so, when they were gathered there at Pentecost, the Bible says there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. You know what happened? Jesus fulfilled his promise to his church there that day. The Holy Spirit came upon her and took up his abode with the church, and I declare unto you that he's still with the church today. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God is with the church today. I've heard people make the claim that there's no power in the churches. Well, listen, we may not oftentimes feel the power that we could feel if we would be obedient to the Lord and receive the blessings that he has to give. But I'm telling you, I don't believe the Holy Spirit, as long as the church does his work and maintains his ordinances and keeps the truth, I believe that we have the promise of that power being with us. Who do you think that is that shows up here from time to time? The people of God are those who down through the years have rejoiced in the Lord. If you don't like shouting and praising, the church is not the place for you. Because from time to time, God's people are going to do that. I'm going to tell you something. I want to try to share my heart with you. I feel, and I was reminded of this when I thought about these scriptures. I feel so blessed to have been among the people of God throughout my lifetime. I grew up among people that weren't ashamed of the Lord. I grew up among people that would openly praise him. And when I was a lost boy, it had a big effect upon me. I grew up among people who weren't ashamed to shout when they got happy in the Lord. I grew up among people who weren't ashamed to stand up and testify about how God had saved their soul. I am so blessed to have been among God's people throughout the years of my life. There's not a place on earth that I would rather be today than to be right here assembled with the people of God. I believe they're the best people on earth. And that's not and shouldn't make us proud. It ought to make us humbled that God has chosen us to be his people. You know, the church has been, through the years, the church has been persecuted. The church has been ridiculed. The church has been made fun of. You know, Brother Lowe, we know that the way that we invite people and encourage people to seek the Lord until they find him, people make fun of that. They say it's ridiculous. They say there's no need in people bowing on their knees and weeping and moaning and all these things. Let them just accept the Lord. They make fun of that, but the church just keeps right on. I believe that what we do today is much like what the church has always done. Preach the truth, praise the Lord, testify of his goodness, go out and tell people about him. His plan for his church was really very simple, wasn't it? The instructions left to us in the Word of God are really not complicated at all as to who we are and why we're here and what we are supposed to do. We're a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. And one day in eternity, God will take her unto Himself to be His forever and forever and forever. The church, the Lord established an eternal kingdom. I'll tell you what, if your church membership is not precious to you and it's not priceless to you, your heart's not right. Your heart's just not right, because it is a great privilege to be a member of such a great institution, the greatest one on earth. And God is with us. I'll tell you what, He wants to bless us. He wants to do wonderful things for us. He wants to revive us. God wants us to stay close to Him. He doesn't want us to be stagnant or cold or indifferent. He wants us to be on fire. He loves us. Gave Himself for us. Called unto Himself. You know what a church is? A church is an ecclesia. A called out assembly. We have been called. Don't think the preachers are the only ones that have a calling from God. If you've been saved, you're a member of the Lord's church, you are a called out people. We've been called out to do His work and to show forth His praises. And I'm so thankful. I am so thankful to God that I was blessed. When I was a boy and I was impressionable, I'm so thankful that I was blessed to be among people that told me the truth. Told me about, you know, one of the greatest things, one of the greatest doctrines that the Lord's church has upheld through the years is what it means to really be saved. I want you to know something, you young people that are being brought here, that are hearing the truth through Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church about your soul, you are blessed for that. There's a lot of young people out there that are being deceived all the time. You are blessed to be among people that tell you the truth about what it means to be saved. We're His people. We need to act like it. And we need to work like we are His people. Let's have a song.